Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, folks. Mike Cosentino here. Steve's not with us, but we do have Gary here.
Good morning.
Steve is overseeing his garage elevator. Just like Mitt Romney, he has a garage elevator to make sure all his nine or eleven cars. He had a breakdown. No, Steve is doing something important for his work. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney's money this morning. This is our topic this morning. Mitt Romney's money. And it's not the fact that he has it or even has a lot of it. We're going to talk about where it is. We're going to talk about jobs and what the relationship between his past work and jobs. We're going to talk about taxes. And that's, a few other things.
And,
go ahead.
And transparency or
transparency.
Lack thereof.
George Romney, by the way, filed 12 years of tax. George Romney, as Mitt's dad, Mitt's father, governor of Michigan,
who ran for president,
filed 12 years of tax returns. How many years has Mitt showed us so far?
Mitt has filed his 2010 tax returns, and that's not even particularly detailed. There's 55 pages in his return that are on his foreign investments alone. But then there's a list that says, I think it's 25 accounts that are more than $1 million. And that's the only detail he provided on it.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We want to talk about tax returns and the lack thereof. I did hear coming on tax returns for another minute. I did hear coming in this morning that the conservative pundits are saying, even the conservatives are saying, you got to publish. You got to let us know more of them.
Right. George Will and Cokie Roberts
exactly.
And several others.
And it's going to happen sooner or later. And he's rich. We know he's rich. And the response should be that it's okay to be rich.
Being rich is not the point. There are
lots
of rich politicians. There have been lots of rich presidents in the past. But it's how he got rich and where he put the money is, I think, the real story here.
Perfect segue. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about where it is.
Well, let me state first that the Washington Post summarized opinions of the experts that saying that Romney's disclosures were the most opaque they have ever encountered.
Wow.
So that says a lot about his lack of transparency. But the reason for that is that according to his 2010 tax reform return, $30 million is in the Grand Caymans, where, by the way, a confidentiality law states that you can be jailed for up to 4 years just for asking about information about somebody else's accounts.
Wow.
And he has money in Bermuda. We don't know how much. One of the big investments there is Sankaty High Yield Asset Investors, which is wholly owned by Mitt. And then up until recently, he had a $3 million bank account in Switzerland.
Ah. Swiss accounts. That doesn't look good for a president, having Swiss bank accounts.
Well, in the primaries, even Newt Gingrich said that I don't know of any American president who's had a Swiss bank account.
Tell us about the 401k. I kind of like that. We struggle along putting a couple thousand dollars a year in our 401k and maybe a little more if you got some special deals. Tell us about Mitt Romney's 401k.
It is kind of puzzling. It's because he hasn't revealed a lot of information with it. It's kind of hard to sort out. But he has an IRA like most of us do, or many of us do, that he was allowed while he was at Bain to put $2,000 a year into his IRA. And if it was a different kind of plan, he could put up to $30,000 a year into it for 15 years.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, that IRA account contains $102 million.
Yeah, you can't get there at 30 grand and 2 grand. Yeah, once again, I'm going to say this throughout the broadcast this morning. It's not that he has money. It's just the things that he does with it, including kill jobs. The Obamas, to put this in perspective, in case you don't know, the Obamas filed a tax return for $700,000 plus. And the one return we've seen from Mitt Romney is for $45 million. So that's a big difference in these two men running for office and how they behave with the money. We talked a little bit about where. So, Ann, we talked about how much. Go ahead.
And I left out one of the other countries that he's invested in. It's he has an unknown number of investments in Luxembourg, which is another tax haven for the wealthy. So all of these, there's only two reasons for putting your money in these places, the Caymans, Bermuda, Switzerland, and Luxembourg. Talking with accountants and economists, the only reasons to put them there are tax evasion, although Romney denies that that's the reason, and the other reason is secrecy, and the reason for that, aside from tax evasion, is so that you can transfer money from one country and one investment to another without anybody else knowing about it, including the U.S. government, where you would have to pay taxes on that amount.
Yeah, once again, it's legal. Nothing wrong with putting money in the Cayman Islands. Nothing wrong with having a Swiss bank account. It's just that and being president don't necessarily go together, at least in my book.
Well, an important point to that, too, is that the government estimates that $100 billion, with a B, dollars a year are lost in tax revenues for people like Mitt who have placed their money in tax havens. That translates into $484 a year for the average taxpayer having to make up the amount of money that is lost by people like Mitt putting it offshore.
Wow. Well, one of the things politically, now we're going to switch back and forth. The whole idea of this is politics. Politically, the Gore Vidal called us the USA, the United States of Amnesia. Because the American public forgets things within hours, I think, let alone days. And so they're kind of counting on that. They were counting on, okay, yeah, fine, I was CEO of Bain Capital, and yeah, it was one of those typical, but it's not going away. And maybe the public is forgetting, but certainly for once, apparently some journalists aren't forgetting. Let's talk about Bain Capital, and we want to get to jobs sooner or later, Gary.
Okay. Well, Bain Capital is wholly owned by Mitt Romney and his wife, Ann. You could say that Bain Capital is Mitt Romney and vice versa. Bain is, as a capital investment company, I think Newt Gingrich probably summarized it best by calling it vulture capitalism.
Now we're quoting Newt Gingrich. I mean,
right.
Write that down. Democratic perspectives. Go ahead.
But if you're not familiar with what these companies do, they look around for other companies that are cash rich and are not as efficient as maybe they think they should be.
Or could be.
And so they buy up these companies, take the cash out as soon as they can. They then charge a management fee, a very hefty management fee, to operate the consulting fee,
right,
to operate the company, and then they start increasing efficiency, i.e. laying off people. If it doesn't meet their standards, then they start laying off people and even quicker and outsourcing jobs to other countries, which is, Mitt's company, Urbane, has done quite a bit of that, I understand.
Don't they go after companies that have pension funds, especially?
They like pension funds, depending on how the pension funds are structured, because they can, once they lay off the people, they have access to extra money from the pension funds as well. So,
I see.
So it's a basically they Depending on the company. I mean, they do take companies and invest in them, and the companies, you know, some of them do well, but a lot of them don't. And a lot of them are just basically, as Gingrich implied, are sucked dry by the investment company.
And that's how a place like Bain Capital makes its money. Now, once again, all legal. And the question, of course, of the last week has been, when was he running it, and, you know, when did he stop running it? There's a lot of jokes going around about his memory and the difference between 1999 and 2002, the years that Mitt Romney was the CEO or ran the Olympics or was involved in the Olympics, but was still on his name appears on all the documents. He is still on the letterhead. The claim is he had nothing to do with running the company. Which is why we're getting into demanding an apology. The Romney campaign is demand. Mitt Romney himself is demanding an apology from his opponent, or his Barack Obama, for mentioning all this, which seems kind of disingenuous, to say the least.
I put it this way: if Barack Obama was found to have investments in the Caymans and have been evading U.S. taxes, I mean the Republicans are saying, well, so what? It's American to avoid paying taxes as much as you can. That's just being patriotic. But if Obama had investments like this, I mean, he was criticized soundly by Republicans for not wearing a flag pin in 2008. But here's somebody that is avoiding paying U.S. taxes, and it's perfectly okay. I'd say if the roles were reversed, there'd be pitchforks and torches surrounding the White House as we speak.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Nail down the Bain thing for us, though, please. The 1999-2002 controversy, you know.
As you said, Romney claims that he, in I believe it was February of 1999,
that's right,
resigned from Bain Capital and has had nothing to do with Bain Capital since then. Interestingly, though, there are a number of documents that kind of run contrary to that. Number one is he filed a federal disclosure form with the Elections Commission that said that he had nothing to do with Bain Capital, but then his SEC filings for Bain Capital up through 2002 list Romney as CEO, chairman of the board, and whole investor, sole investor.
That's kind of
owner.
Obama's point. I mean, you do have conservative pundits running around saying, well, he was so busy with the Olympics he had no time for Bain Capital. And Obama said in the last 24 hours, well, you know, if your name is on the masthead and you're listed as CEO, then it's yours.
It came out this morning that in an article in Mother Jones that during the hearings in Massachusetts when Romney was running for governor, he was having to prove his citizenship because he was living in Utah at the time. And so he was asked to prove his citizenship, and in response he said, well, I'm flying back and forth a lot because I have to come back to Boston on many occasions to work for Bain Capital. So, again, it's, you know, in his own words, he's said that he was a liar on his disclosure form.
I see.
But interestingly, I think it was one of the more humorous things I've heard is his campaign advisor, Ed Gillespie, says Romney's resignation from Bain is retroactive.
That's right. That's right.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, well, it's like a born-again virgin, you know. I mean, that's all right. Well, once again, well, we go on to the next. We're talking this morning about Mitt Romney's money, where it is, and what he does with it. And once again, not such a big deal that he has it. You know, that's American dream is to be rich and have a carefree lifestyle. But it is important when you're trying to be president on what you do with it. How does his behavior affect the jobs of the people he's come in contact with as CEO of Bain Capital?
Well, aside from the ones he laid off,
that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah, I'm sorry, you did allude to that. That part of the process of the companies like Bain Capital, their thing is to lower employment costs.
Anytime you hear companies talk about efficiency, think layoffs.
Think your job is on the line. Yeah, get out your resume.
Our efficiency has never been higher, overall for corporations in our country.
And that's across the board.
Now.
That's across the board, from corporations down to little radio stations. You got more people doing less.
Fewer people doing more work than ever before.
Yes, turn that around. That's exactly. And technology is a big part of that.
Right.
You know, I have the whole world in my pocket here. My iPhone can.
We have robots building cars and all sorts of things. But it's this whole striving for greater and greater efficiency is contrary to full employment. There's no way that you can keep striving for more and more efficiency out of corporations and think that we'll ever reach full employment.
Is there anything in your research that has a number of jobs that
I haven't found that, but
that's the smoking one of the smoking
but,
guns we don't
but,
have.
But there's a lot of questions about his investments that I think maybe we should talk about. Is that he's obviously there's questions about whether he's still involved in Bain Capital or not, or how long he was. It's pretty obvious that he was past 1999. And by the way, if he filed false reports, he is vulnerable to he's perjured himself, and so he's vulnerable to felonies on federal felonies on at least three counts.
Yeah, the felony and chief jokes are going around the internet now, but one felony, three counts is what we're up to so far. Are there more?
That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
But we can go on to they keep calling for more financial disclosure and I think for good reason. His own father said that 1 year of returns could be a fluke, perhaps done for show. That's the exact quote. So that's why his father released 12 years to be perfectly transparent, and Mitt refuses to do that.
All we've seen is his 2010 tax returns.
There are, what is the number in the Cayman Islands? Bain Capital maintains at least 138 funds in Grand Cayman, of which, most of them are, owned by Romney.
138 funds, different funds.
Different funds.
In an offshore account that isn't very transparent. Why do you need 130? Who knows? We don't know why we need 138 funds.
As I said, there's a full 55 pages in his 2010 return that are devoted to his foreign investments. His known tax rate for 2010, I've paid 30%+ every year for as long as I can remember.
Right.
In effective tax rate, and Mitt's was just shy of 15%.
Right. And a lot of people don't argue with that either. That once again, it's American to try to pay as few taxes as possible, and yet still pay taxes.
Doesn't make me feel very, very good, however.
Well, not when, once again, when you're running for president.
When I don't have those kinds of write-offs.
Yeah, when I pay, $8,000 on my $40,000 of income, and he pays $6 million on his $42 million of income.
Another big question is, Mitt now says that, well, since he left Bain Capital, all of his and got involved in government, that all of his investments are put in a blind trust.
Oh yeah, the old blind trust.
He claims he doesn't even know where his money is.
Now, but he set his up a little differently than anybody else.
Yes, he put as the primary trustee his personal attorney.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because now no one can ask his trustee about his investments and his blind trust because of
attorney-client privilege.
Exactly.
That's smart.
Smart
businessman.
Seems less than genuine to me. The like I said earlier, he has mystery investments. His financial disclosure lists 25 investments in an open-ended category of over $1 million. So he refused to elaborate on that. We talked about the impossible IRA.
Yes.
There's no way that you could get to $102 million in a normal situation. There's also some questions about
that's some good mutual funds.
That's a heck of a return. There's some questions about Ann Romney's payments from Bain Capital. She's been receiving payments, and well, it was obvious in the 2010 return that she was received income from Bain Capital by under the category of performing services to the partnership. But the administrative guidelines say you can only do this if the compensation is in recognition of past services you provided. Since we don't have any information prior to 2010, we have no idea if she actually did perform any services for Bain. There's an interesting little thing called blocker corporations that Bain is invested in and Romney is invested in. Blocker corporations, as I understand it, were set up to help out nonprofits so that someone could invest in a corporation in the Cayman Islands and elsewhere. Pension funds, foundations, etc., could use these corporations to avoid something called the unrelated business income tax, which was designed to keep nonprofits from competing with ordinary companies in the core business. The way it works, if you invest directly, you get hit with the tax. But if you invest in a blocker corporation, which then invests in the U.S. business that you want to invest in, then you can escape the tax entirely.
I see.
That means that...
it was a way of getting nonprofit money into the system, into the investment system.
But it's now being abused, including by Bain and Romney. It calls into question Romney's claim that the tax consequences in the Caymans is the very same as it would be if he had invested directly in the U.S. There's some other things like feeder tax havens.
Isn't the other purpose of a blocker, though, to you can do foreign investment without a transparency?
It's really, as I understand it, you can invest in a U.S. citizen can invest in U.S. corporations without the tax consequences by funneling the money through the Cayman Islands instead.
I see. Okay.
So if I send it to the Caymans and then have them invested back into the corporation in the U.S., then I avoid the taxes. There's an interesting little thing that another question that came up is, aside from his departure, was I believe it was not this past weekend, but the weekend before, there was a Romney fundraiser that Karl Rove spoke at. Well, Karl Rove, as you know, is the former Bush advisor, and he's now head of a super PAC, at least one super PAC. And there's not supposed to be any coordination of campaigns between the super PACs and the campaign itself. But at the Romney fundraiser,
this is the $75,000 a plate or the $50,000 a plate?
I don't remember.
I didn't get my invitation. Must have been lost in the mail.
I just don't remember. But Rove was asked to speak by Romney's son, and to skirt around the issues of coordination, they set up a tent outside the main fundraiser and invited people to come out and speak, you know, and listen to Carl speak in the tent.
Right.
So there's technically no coordination, but it seems pretty clear. If the Obama campaign did that, the torch and pitchfork crowd would be out in mass.
The Tea Party the echo chamber would not stop. Fox News would not quit. Don't forget, part of the reason we're talking about all this morning is not that we care that deeply about another guy's finances, but politically, this could lead to damage. And certainly an open convention would be if I heard Cokie Roberts say this morning that part of the intent is to keep the American public from knowing Mitt Romney. If we can keep his story from being as pure and untainted as they would like it to be. What she didn't say, and which I'm thinking, is that if they can push this to the convention and have enough doubt in enough minds of enough people at the convention who still, no matter what happens at the Democratic and the Republican convention, these are still American citizens going there to vote for a candidate. If you can go into that with enough doubt, it could be complete chaos. It could be what the biggest fear of any candidate, of course, unless you're on the challenger side, is an open convention.
Well, I'll be curious to see if that actually happens. It seems like all of this tax evasion and the ownership of or participation in Bain has kind of been met with a big ho-hum from the conservative crowd that seems to cheer on the idea of paying less taxes by using means of evading them. And I always thought tax evasion was something that was unpatriotic and downright illegal. And here yeah. we have the right holding it up as something that's all American. It's perfectly American, and we should drape ourselves in the flag and avoid paying any taxes that we can possibly avoid.
Yeah, it is an odd hypocrisy that we have when it comes to that, you know, out of taxes comes teacher salaries and fireman salaries and police salaries, and yet, we give a lot of cuts and a lot of breaks for the sake of certain kinds of capitalism. I'm going to say again, folks, nothing wrong with Romney's money, just what happens to jobs and the deceitful way in which he seems to have presented it.
It's Dylan Radigan's, who is a business reporter, summed it up, this type of capitalism up rather well by calling it extractionism. You know, extracting money out of companies at the cost of eliminating jobs, and extracting money out of the U.S. at the cost of sending money overseas. I think that's a really good term. I'd like to point to one other thing, if I could, real
sure.
quick, is that. Recently the Supreme Court upheld the ban on foreign campaign donations. And there's lots of questions this time around with Sheldon Adelman, a big casino owner that is pumping money into the super PACs to support Romney. There's a lot of questions about where that money's coming from, because he owns casinos in Macau. But there was an interesting story last week that kind of jumped out at me, that the CEO of Barclays had pulled out of a fundraiser for Mitt Romney in London, because he didn't want to taint.
Oh, is London a foreign country?
I think so, yeah. And I think that's in the...
That's illegal, isn't it? At least,
anyway, they're holding a fundraiser of costing $25,000 to $75,000
in London.
For Romney in London. And I'm just curious about how they're getting around.
We'll leave that question. That's good. We'll leave that in case the SEC is listening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm flying left seat this morning, as we say up at the Sedona Airport. That's where the pilot sits. And because... Steve Williamson isn't here, but we've had Gary LeMaster talking about Mitt Romney's money. Next week's show is going to be about we're going to call it the Ryan Romney budget. Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney and their budget, according to some economists, will be a total disaster for the economy. VVID.org is where you can find our backup information. We like to source everything. Please go there, VVID.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.